Now, hey, Alex Gordon's name popped up in the post-game press conference with Ned.
Gordo with the nice catch in center right after he goes out there.
Yeah. Is there a question there somewhere?
No,
I saw that too. Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, that's
I
that, that's
cut
not
it because I thought it was funny.
That's
like,
not a question.
Is there a question there?
Not a question, but it almost sounds like the reporter's just trying to throw something out there for Ned to say something positive about Gordo, and Ned didn't really take the bait, did he?
No.
I mean, it's kind of like, hey, did you see Johnny out there in center? He struck out five times, and he made a couple errors, but how about that catch in center?
Gordo with the nice catch in center right after he goes out there.
Yeah. Is there a question there somewhere?
No,
I saw that too. Thanks for reminding me.
I was there.
What, you think I went to the bathroom and missed that? Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, it was a nice catch. Yeah, good point. Thanks for watching.
I was marginally paying attention from the dugout.
All right. I put this on Twitter and went on my Facebook page. I am calling two players. I am giving them the new nickname. It's a combined nickname. And I'm calling them $84 million of Royals futility. $84 million of Royals futility. And I might do a daily update on this. $84 million of Royals futility.
Yep. What's sad is that you may be able to do a daily update.
Yeah.
On that.
So what two players would I possibly be talking about to be the two members of the $84 million of Royals futility?
Well, I mean, there's no doubt the first one is Alex Gordon.
Yes. That's $72 million. Of the 84.
Yeah, so I'm trying to figure out who the other...
I was torn on the second one.
Mm-hmm. Who do you think the second one is?
Trying to go down the lineup. Who's making money for the Royals? It's not doing good. Well,
a lot of them. A lot of them. A lot of them.
All of them are making money, and not very many of them are doing really good.
Not going to guess? Just going to leave it dead air for 5 seconds?
Who's making that much money?
Well, $72 million, add $12 million.
I know, that's $12 million. That's what I'm trying to think about. Who's making $12 million mm-hmm. for this offense?
Mm-hmm.
And
doesn't have to be necessarily for this year.
Well, yeah.
$12 million contract.
Can you give him a hint?
Yeah.
How many times did he strike out last night?
Last night he went 0-for-4 and struck out every single time.
I didn't look at the whole box score. It was all miserable if they only scored one run. So.
All right, for the sake of saving time, I'll move on.
Please
could last forever because he still won't take a guess. All right, Brandon Moss, 0-for-4, four strikeouts last night.
Yeah.
Brandon Moss is hitting 150, 0-for-4, four strikeouts last night. He never once put the ball in play. Alex Gordon, 0-for-4, struck out twice, hitting 164. No home runs this year for Alex Gordon. $72 million contract. So you sign Brandon Moss, 2 years, $12 million. Alex Gordon, 4 years, $72 million. That's $84 million. It is the $84 million of futility. It's the duo of Gordon and Moss. Two left-handed hitters that have absolutely, can't sugarcoat it, stink. Flat out stink. I'm sure they're nice guys. Well, you're getting paid that much money, you need to perform. And the sad thing is that the Royals have nobody, and I mean nobody apparently, to put them in their place and let them sit for a while. To make matters a little bit worse today, here's the Royals lineup this afternoon at 12:10. Jason Vargas will go up against former Royal pitcher Jake Odorizzi. Here's the Royals lineup. You ready? Tell me what stands out. Escobar leading off playing short. Moose, DH, batting second. Hosmer playing first, batting third. Salvador Perez catching, batting fourth. Jorge Bonifacio playing left, batting fifth. Whit Merrifield, second base, batting sixth. Jorge Soler, right field, batting seventh. Alex Gordon playing center field, batting eighth. And Chesler Cuthbert, third base, batting ninth. Anything stand out?
Well, Alex Gordon's playing center field. Kane's not playing today.
So we're resting Kane, which I understand they want to rest his legs.
He said he was going to do
although he could have been the DH.
Yeah.
Instead, you would rather have Gordon's bat in the lineup than Lorenzo Cain. Are you kidding me? I know we're paying $72 million to the guy, but maybe it's time to sit his butt down for a little while. They just designated Christian Colon for assignment. That sends a bit of a message. It's a numbers game. He could come back if he clears waivers. But Colon, was a number four overall pick by the Royals. Dayton Moore made that pick, by the way, one of his first picks. Christian Colon has been nothing but a utility guy. Couple decent hits in his career. Of course, the game-winning hit in Game 5 that clinched the World Series for the Royals in 2015. And he's a guy that everybody likes in the clubhouse, so forth and so on. So that's a bit of a minor message to the team that, hey, we got rid of a guy from that World Series team. We just designated him for assignment. We didn't even get anything for him unless they can trade him here before he clear waivers, which I highly doubt. So he's designated for assignment. Got 10 days to figure all that out. I'm not telling you to designate Gordon for assignment, although maybe. But for crying out loud, send a message here. Send a message. Send a message. We've got Lorenzo Cain. He's one of our best hitters this year, and we don't have many of them. Okay, he needs time off, sitting on his butt, needs to rest his legs. Play him at DH. Play him at DH. Okay? And you could put Cuthbert at second because you did it last night, and then put Merrifield in the outfield. Problem is, you don't have a true second center fielder. That's the issue. Exactly. So, but see, once again, I would sit here and I'd say to you, you know, I don't know, man, if you... What's it gonna take for Alex Gordon to be benched for a little bit?
An injury?
That's it.
The start of the 2018 season.
I know, but that's as close as I can come up with.
All right. So, I know. I keep bagging on Gordon. He's not doing anything to change that.
Sorry, dude.
Brandon Moss just came to this team, and he hasn't been in a slump for a year. He had 28 homers last year. He's at least hit a few homers for the Royals, and he doesn't play every day, and Gordon does. All right, so we talked the other day about the contracts the Royals have and where Dayton Moore has messed up. And somebody put, they're a friend of mine, and they're a Husker fan, and Gordon's a Nebraska Cornhusker, and they said, well, at least Gordon is playing defense. We are not paying Alex Gordon, and I say we as in the Royals organization. The Royals didn't sign Alex Gordon with the thought, hey, he's going to hit a 164, but he's going to play good defense, so we'll give him $72 million. I'm sorry. You need to do more than make a few catches in left field for $72 million. Is that expecting too
and
much?
His defense is declining,
it
too.
It is declining,
it's
by the way.
It's very obvious.
It is.
Nowhere near as fast as he once was to get to those, you know, outstanding plays that he used to make. Those fall in now.
We documented yesterday he's not making adjustments at the plate, so he's being stubborn and hard-headed, and that's coming from scouts around baseball and an anonymous source within the Royals organization. If you think that's all being made up, it's not like they don't like Alex Gordon, but they're frustrated. The team is mystified on how he's fallen off the face of the earth when it comes to hitting, and it's been well over a year now. Here's the thing. Here's the contract. You want the breakdown? I've got it all right here for you. Alex Gordon, 33 years of age this year. So he is not an incline. He's not an ascending player. He's a descending player, obviously. The Royals are paying him $16 million this year to hit 164 with no home runs. Guess what? Gets worse. Next year, $20 million at the age of 34. 2019, guaranteed $20 million at the age of 35. Now, the good news, in 2020, there's a mutual option for $23 million. I'm thinking the Royals might walk from that. Bad news, you got to pay $4 million to get out of it.
That's why it's 72.
$60 million the Royals still owe Alex Gordon. $60 million. It's one thing if he performed for a couple years of his contract, and then at the end of the contract, he stunk. He's been bad the entire contract. Brutally bad. But in fairness to Alex Gordon, he's not the only one that's wasting a lot of the Royals' money. Brandon Moss... this year, $3.7 million. Next year, if he's even on the team, we're guaranteed him $7.3 million, and he's the same age as Gordon. So we got two older, declining players at the age of 33 that are guaranteed money through 34 for both of them, whether they're on the team or not. That's my $84 million of futility, folks. I know it sounds rough. It sounds harsh. And, yes, I can hear the people that don't follow sports very closely. Oh, it's not easy to hit a baseball, Wade. You're being tough on them. Nah, 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 nah. I don't get paid to do it. I admit it. I suck. I can't hit a curveball, but I'm not paid $72 million.
No.
And you want to sit here, and I hear these fans every once in a while, oh, you guys, you talk about sports, and you're so critical of people. And we're not critical of everybody all the time. But we point out when team guys aren't performing, well, yeah, what do you think? You can be a better manager? You think you can be a better GM? You can do this or that? No. Wait, before you get too far and you want to criticize anybody in sports talk radio about talking about a guy that's not performing, I would bet you $1 million, but I don't have it, but I'll bet $1 million of Alex's 72. He can afford it. I'll bet you $1 million out of Alex Gordon's $72 million that you say, the same people that say those type of things, oh, that don't be too mean on him, are the same people that rip our government officials. Wait a minute. You think you can do a better job? I don't see you running for office. See my point? You can be critical. It's okay to be critical. Sometimes we have fun with it. That's why I'm doing right now. This is my way of coping with it, okay? This is my therapy, and probably for Dusty and Chad as well. $84 million of futility. Two 33-year-old left-handed hitters that can't hit the ball. Let me repeat. Brandon Moss last night, 0 for 4, struck out 4 times, never put the ball in play. Alex Gordon, 0 for 4, struck out twice. He's now 1 for his last 23, I believe. So he's on fire. Dayton Moore. Probably should have seen Gordon declining as a player. We did before he signed the contract. But that's on Dayton Moore. Dayton Moore then picked up Brandon Moss. We said at the time, even Ryan LaFever, the voice of the Royals, scratched his head going, yeah, I'm not. That surprised me they signed Brandon Moss. The Royals said they wanted to have a rotating DH. Two moves the Royals made that, honestly, this isn't hindsight 20-20. We and other people in the media were saying, what are they doing? What are they doing? What's Dayton doing? Okay, Jason Hamill, we understood, and I thought it was a good signing at the time. You lost your Donovan Ventura, right? He died in a car wreck. You need a starting pitcher. They had to scramble. It wasn't the plan to pick up Jason Hamill, not at all. He was the best free agent pitcher available, and the Royals signed him to a 2-year, $16 million deal. Jason Hamill's ERA is 5.97. The Royals are paying him $5 million at the age of 34, and next year at the age of 35, he's guaranteed $9 million. You notice any common thread here?
Oh, they're all guys in the mid-30s.
Old players, lots of guaranteed money.
Yeah.
Descending players. How about Travis Wood? Travis Wood has been absolutely horrible. He is 30. Good news, a little younger. He's getting $4 million this year, $6.5 million next year. It comes out to 2 years, $12 million. Must be a $500,000 signing or something or whatever bonus, whatever they gave him. So for 2 years, Travis Wood on the books for sure next year for $6.5 million for a guy who also stinks. Joaquin Soria, who stunk last year. Boy, everybody would agree with that, I think. Joaquin Soria this year's pitched much better. This year, $8 million. He's 32. Next year, the Royals have to pay him $9 million no matter what at the age of 33. Ian Kennedy signed with the Royals at the age of 31. Signed last year. 5 years, $70 million. Now, you certainly can argue Kennedy's been the best of this group by far. He hasn't been an all-star, but he's been solid. He looks like an all-star compared to the guys I just shared with you. Ian Kennedy, this year, $13.5 million at the age of 32. Okay. I can see it. He's a number three starter. That might be reasonable for baseball standards. Next year, when he's 33, $16 million. 2019, 34, guaranteed $16.5 million. 2020, at the age of 35, there's no option. He's guaranteed $16.5 million. So let me go back. In 2019, Alex Gordon, at the age of 35, we'll get $20 million. Ian Kennedy, at the age of 35, will get $16.5 million. You already have $36.5 million tied up for 2020 in two players because they backloaded the contracts. If you want to talk about next year, well, let's do next year, shall we? Gordon, $20 million next year on the books, guaranteed. Kennedy, add it up for me, Dusty. $16 million for Kennedy. That's 36. 7.2 for Moss next year, guaranteed at the age of 34. Jason Hamill next year at the age of 35, guaranteed 9. Are you adding this up?
I'm adding it up.
Okay.
In my head, yeah.
All right. Travis Wood at the age of 31, a little younger, $6.5 million next year. And Joaquin Soria next year at the age of 32, next year at the age of 33, $9 million. What's the total?
67.8, I think is what.
So round it up. 68
million.
Think about this and put your arms around this. $68 million the Royals have tied up in Alex Gordon, Brandon Moss, Jason Hamill, Travis Wood, Joaquin Soria, and Ian Kennedy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 players. They have $68 million wrapped up in 6 players, and only one is performing. Five of the 6 are going to be 33, 34, 35 in the next year or two. The only younger guys would, and he's 31. So everybody, all 6 of these guys are in their 30s, low to mid-30s, guaranteed $68 million combined next year for a small market team. Does anybody see a problem with that?
I saw a problem with it when they signed the contracts.
I know. I know.
We've been saying this for 3 years.
But I'm providing the evidence to show it's true.
Yeah, and if anybody didn't think it was going to turn out to be true, then they don't know the inside workings of numbers and what small market teams need to do to have success. I mean,
it's one thing to give these guys this money, but when they're in their prime, these guys are past their prime.
Yeah, exactly.
They're in their 30s. That's when you get hurt more often. We see that. Kennedy got the hamstring just the other day.
Yeah.
Okay? But the other problem with all this money tied up and backloaded contracts, the Royals basically sold their soul to the devil when they made the deal with Gordon, and that started it all. That started it all. And because now I've heard some Royals fans like, well, I don't quite understand, Wade. Like, Hosmer, I love Hosmer. The Royals are trying to sign Hosmer. Well, but Kane's a good player. Moustakas a good player. Why don't they go ahead and talk to those guys and sign them long term? Because they have $68 million tied up in a bunch of stiffs. Right now, they could get better. But right now, 5 of those 6 guys are stiffs. Maybe 4. Sorry, Soria. He's actually doing something this year. Soria and Kennedy, those 2 have done okay this year. Soria was bad last year. The only guy out of the 6 that's done well for the 2 seasons would be Kennedy. As a small market team, you cannot make these mistakes. $68 million. I'm trying to tell people right now, and I hate to be Debbie Downer, this points to an organization and a franchise that's headed back towards 90 to 100 losses for the next 2 to 3 years. David Glass is not going to pony up a whole bunch of money to Eric Hosmer or Mike Moustakas or Lorenzo Cain when he's already got all this money on the books for these guys. And the one that hamstrings them the most is Alex Gordon. And David Glass, what was the criticism of David Glass big time when the Royals were struggling before
they
got good? Wouldn't spend the money. All you people are quiet now. Because David Glass has a payroll of $145 million. And quite honestly, he's sitting here going, well, see, fans, I spent the money, and what am I getting for it?
Well, at one point in time, you got a World Series for it.
Well, not with this payroll. Not for spending the money.
Those guys weren't making
Those guys are making a lot less money.
They were still $113 on their payroll that year. I mean, it was still improved from what it was.
Well, it was improved.
But that's
it wasn't what it was now.
That's just inflation, too.
It's inflation. It automatically goes up. It's automatically going up. And that's also your younger players got more service time. You had to pay them with arbitration. It automatically goes up.
How about 113 probably still was... Middle of the pack at best.
Middle of the pack best. Now the Royals are the 8th highest payroll.
Yeah.
But why is that? Because the Royals, I think, thought with their heart instead of their head. They wanted to keep the band together, even though technically, you know, a lot of the band is gone. Let's be honest. Holland's gone. Dyson is gone. Davis is gone. Morales is gone. And he was, of course, part of the 15 World Series. Now Colon is gone. Volquez is gone. Ventura, of course, is gone permanently, unfortunately. Cueto is gone. Zobrist is gone. A lot of people forget those 2 guys were pretty important. They were gone in a few months. I mean, the Royals, all these players the Royals have, they still had to trade the farm system to get Cueto and Zobrist to put them over the top. Without those trades, they don't win the World Series. So when you don't have anything in the system because you mortgaged a future to win a World Series, which is great, and once again, I say yes, that was the right decision. I'm all for getting the ring. I'm cool with it. But there is a chance that you have to pay the piper. So not only did you sell the farm system out to get a couple rental players that win you a series ring, which is awesome. It worked out great. But then you compounded the problem by as soon as you win the World Series, you give a guy who was injury prone, who had a bad 2015. And by the way, in the playoffs, after his home run against the Mets, he was brutal at the plate. And they gave him $72 million. He was their 6th or 7th hitter in the World Series. And he gave him $72 million, guaranteed over 4 years. And now he's your number 8 hitter. That's where things got out of control. Not only did you sell out your system to win a World Series, which, once again, was the right move because they won it. Thank God they did. Then you move into the next stage, and that was you got to be shrewd and you got to be smart in what you do with the money. And then all of a sudden, Gordon fell in our lap. And then you start pressing. Well, now we don't have any pitchers in the minors that are ready. Kyle Zimmer's been a disappointment, injury prone, and we still got the band together. I mean, we got Kane. You still had Davis last year, you know, and everything else. And you say in 16, that was awesome. We loved it. We loved the taste of the World Series. We want to repeat. So what do? Oh, you overpay for Ian Kennedy because you need a pitcher. And you don't have anything because you traded your prospects away for Cueto and Zobrist. Yeah. So that's the price you pay for trading them away. So then you go get Kennedy. Then you make a bad move in signing Soria. To, you know, 1-year deal would have been fine. 3 years, 25, that was a mistake. I think most people would agree with that. And then why did you pick up Brandon Moss 2 years for 12? That was really silly. And then Hamill, you're pretty much forced to. Travis Wood, you didn't have to go get, but you did because Brian Flynn fell off of his barn or something. And kind of overreacted to that. But once again, that comes down to guys you didn't trust in the system, like Scott Alexander, to fill that void. So you went and wasted, as of now, $11 million, $12 million on Travis Wood. It all compounds. It's a snowball effect, and it all snowball affected from the Gordon signing.
Yeah, and honestly, like you said, you take the championship, but you can go back and say it's the snowball actually started when he traded
all
of those pitchers. Mm-hmm, right. Because... Now,
which it doesn't matter. And let me stop for just a second. That doesn't mean that all these guys, because I hear the argument, well, none of those guys are tearing it up where they went. Well, that doesn't matter.
No,
the fact is, we wouldn't have had all that money tied up in Jason Hamill and Joaquin Soria probably, and Ian Kennedy for sure.
That's the point. And
then you would have more money to re-sign Moustakas, Kane, or Hosmer, or you could have maybe had Zobrist.
Yeah, and I said that at the time. I said, if they win the World Series, this is the right move, without question. But don't come to me 2-3 years from now and start complaining because we don't have any pitching.
Yep.
You can't have it both ways. That's exactly what I mean. You can't have it both ways. But we talked about it back then. I mean, this is going to hurt your team in the long run, whether you win or not the World Series, because of what we're talking about right now. You cannot predict Yordano Ventura dying.
No.
But you can have Brandon Finnegan ready to take his place in the rotation if that's where you're going. Sean Manaea, I don't know what Cody Reed's doing right now, but it wasn't good. And John Lamb has been done gone to a different team, and he's not with Cincinnati right now and went to Anaheim, or Los Angeles Angels. I think he's already been released from them. But you still have those guys and those options. You don't know what they'd do if they stayed with the Kansas City system. We don't know if Brandon Finnegan would actually been a starter.
Right.
Who knows? But you've got those options to where, like you say, you don't have to way overpay Ian Kennedy for being a number three starter.
You would never have been in the market for
Ian
Kennedy.
And you would have never even touched Jason Hamill.
Exactly.
That guy would not even been on anybody's radar.
And you wouldn't have probably touched Travis Wood because you would have had Finnegan maybe in the pen.
If you feel like Finnegan's not the starter but he's going to be in your bullpen, then he's the guy that you probably want there.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even with Soria. Maybe you don't need to get Soria if you have Finnegan. And if you feel like he's the guy that can do that for you, maybe you don't have to do that.
Well, if you don't sign Gordon, you might have paid Holland to stick around and see if he had anything in the tank after Tommy John surgery, and you might not have traded Wade Davis.
Yeah, possibly.
You need me to notice what they're doing right now? Holland's the National League Pitcher of the Month, leading the league in saves, and Davis has an ERA of zero
in
Chicago.
Like 9-for-9, and Holland's 13-for-13 yesterday or 2 days ago.
They're 22-for-22 combined, and those guys are healthy, and they're pitching right now. It's
Davis has a zero ERA, too.
It's frustrating, but if you would have told me right now, you know, if you would have told me that we get a World Series ring and we'd be miserable for 4 or 5 years and it'd take a while to rebuild, I said I would take that. And I'm still with that. But Dayton Moore, who I really respect and I think the world of, and we've had a chance to talk to him at KB Seminar before, and he spoke to everybody before. Nice guy, family man, Christian man, everything else. And all these, you know, when we talk about these guys not performing, it doesn't mean we don't like them personally or it's not because they're bad people. And maybe they are. I don't know them that personally. But you have to go with the performance on the field. That's what they're paid to do. That's how you're judged, by your performance, okay? And Dayton Moore needs to be criticized as well. Dayton Moore, I said, was the best GM in all of sports when they won the World Series in 15, and I stand by that comment because everything he did turned to gold in a small market. He was amazing. But since the Royals won the World Series, starting with the Alex Gordon signing, I know I keep coming back to that, but that's where everything turned big time. It was Alex Gordon signing. When Dayton Moore did that and didn't make a run at Zobrist and went all in for Gordon, and yes, it was a discount compared to what the market was going to give him, but not a discount for the Royals, really. And if you think Alex Gordon wanted to play for the Royals all along and he was going to stay with the Royals all along, then why did he explore free agency, people?
And what did it take that long?
Why did it take that long for him to come back to the Royals? He wasn't going to be at the Royals because he thought he was going to get a lot more money elsewhere, and you can't blame Alex Gordon, and I wish he would have got a lot more money elsewhere. we said it at the time when he was signed. We thought this could be a bad thing for the Royals. All our Royals fans were like, this is awesome. We're keeping the band together. We were sitting there going, no, we don't think this is a good idea at all. Long-term contracts, even 4 or 5 years, are not good deals for the Royals and small market teams, and the Royals didn't do that with just one player. They did it with Kennedy. They did it with two. But since the World Series has been won by the Royals, since the end of 2015, Dayton Moore has to be one of the worst general managers in all of sports. I just gave you all the horrible signings he's made. I didn't even talk about Chris Young and Chris Medlin yet.
Yeah.
And now they're talking about signing Escobar, who's hitting under 200. They might actually sign him to, if they can get him for 2 years, $10 million, which would be cheap. But he wouldn't be a starting shortstop for most baseball teams right now. He's good defensively, but offensively he's a train wreck. But he's at the top of the order, and what do you know? The Royals won 2 out of 3 with him at the top of the order. And suddenly they're sitting there talking about how the Royals might re-sign Escobar. Out of all these guys, that's the guy they're going to sign? What does that tell you? That tells you they don't have faith that Mondesi is going to be ready next year. And that means they have nobody in the system ready to go. And that's the one position you thought they definitely got filled for next year. So now all of a sudden there's rumors and things circulating that Escobar, the Royals might re-sign him. I'm sorry, but of all the four players, Hosmer, Escobar, Kane, and Moose, that's the last guy I'd want to see the Royals sign. If we're going to reboot this thing and blow it up and rebuild it, then Mondesi has to be your shortstop next year to start the opening day. I mean, Mondesi, I know we talk about how he hit 119, 129. Well, Escobar's hitting 190, and he's experienced. There's at least potential and upside with Mondesi. You know what Escobar is.
Yeah.
If that's the one guy we keep out of those four, it is a rebuild.
Well, and the reasoning, that's the one guy you keep is because you don't have the money to keep the other
three.
He's
the cheapest alternative because you spend all the money on all these other old, declining players. Yeah. Absolutely. Bingo. These decisions by Dayton Moore, especially the Gordon and the Kennedy, has set this franchise back. And it's affecting every single decision they make from here on out until those contracts are gone. And unfortunately, Kennedy's contract isn't off the books till 2021. That's right, 2021. And Gordon's contract isn't off the books until 2020. We're not on the back end of these contracts. We're just getting started, baby.
Does there come a point in time in all this that Alex Gordon
David
just
gets get a big tax write-off.
Walking papers?
What's that?
Well, yeah,
at some point
I think
after
they should
eat it.
At the end of this season,
listen, if he's playing every day and he's sitting there under 200, they need to let him.
That's what I'm saying. If he's still where he's at and basically has been for the last year and a half,
at the end
of this year,
you got to eat $50 million, man.
You got to let him go.
You don't have to, but you would be eating $50 million. And here's the question. I agree with you. But the question is there anybody in the minors that they feel can be a full-time left fielder to replace Gordon? If the answer is no, then the Royals are going to say, well, we're already paying him $20 million.
We can't pay for another left fielder.
We can't pay for another left fielder in free agency. We've got to either go with a guy in the minors, if nobody's ready to play left field, then they got to stick with Gordon. Because you might as well pay the guy making $20 instead of spending more money for another guy if you don't have an answer in the minor league system. And if they're trying to rebuild this thing anyway, then why go out and try to get more money put and invested in left field? Because
you
already got $20 million tied up in Gordon.
And sign somebody else. Right. You just bring somebody else in.
It has to be for the minors. If you get free agent, you got to spend more money.
I mean, there's probably a couple guys down there that they could bring up that you're going to perform as well as Gordon's been performing here. The question is,
can they play left? Can they play defense? Yeah. That's the counter argument. You know, Bonifacio, is he really? He's not exactly a fleet of foot. He's your left fielder today.
Yeah.
You know, is that your future everyday left fielder? I would say I doubt it. Then once again, indictment on the minor league system. That's why, I'm all for it now. I know some Royals fans say, well, we got to give it a few more weeks. But that's why I think Dayton Moore's got to take the best deal on all four of these free agents. And if they keep one, fine. But they've got to find, they got to get prospects. They got to get a prospect for center field because Bubba Starling is not the answer and not ready to go at all. Hitting under 150 in AAA. They got to find a left fielder to replace Alex Gordon, to be quite honest with you. They've got to find a second baseman. Now, if they trade Moose, they've got Cuthbert at third. If they trade Hosmer, they got to find a first baseman. You know what I'm saying? It's like the guys they're trading, they got to find guys to replace them. They got to get younger versions of those guys to replace those same positions. That's the weird thing. Usually when you got guys like this, you can, we got this figured out. We got a guy ready to slide in there, and there, and then we can go fix second base. No, the Royals apparently, based on reports with Escobar, that means they're not even confident with Mondesi sliding in the short next year. So if they're not comfortable with him, and Kane's a free agent, and you don't got nothing with Gordon left, and right field, certainly you got questions. Soler hasn't exactly hit the cover off the ball since he came up, but it's early for him. And you got him under control for 4 years. You got Cuthbert. The only guy you have, Dusty, the only guy you, two guys you have that are answers for the future is Salvi at catcher and Cuthbert at third. Yeah. That's it.
Well, and that's why we, and that's why we've said
you better get a lot of prospects.
You're not going to trade Salvi because he's what you got.
Too.
Yeah.
Marketable.
Exactly.
Honestly, you probably should trade him too.
Yeah.
You probably get decent haul for him. But you do that, you really are breaking up the band. You're getting rid of
him. Well, I mean, and that's a position where you have at least a guy that's serviceable that could take his spot.
Butera could be a part-time, interim full-time catcher. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And there's the next question. Is there anybody in the minors that's up and coming as a catcher that's close to the bigs for the Royals? As far as I know, the answer is no, just like about every other position. Yeah. So that's why I'm being Debbie Downer today, because I see this team with not much in the minors ready to go. There might be more in the AA, but they need at least another year. AAA, it's not there. And all you need to know when it's not there in AAA is when they call up Miguel Amonte for a day and bypass everybody in AAA for a starting pitcher. And then they settle for Chris Young as a spot starter. That tells you all you need to know about how bad this minor league system is, at least at the AAA level. So the Royals might have lots of guys coming up single A, double A. They're going to be ready to go in a couple years. But it's kind of like when we were waiting on Moustakas and Hosmer. Remember that? They were struggling. They came up. They struggled. We waited. Some people wanted to cut Moustakas. But he was at least young, and you knew there was upside. Whereas with Gordon, he is what he's been, and he's lost it. And all these other guys are 31, 32, 33, 34 years old. There's not a lot of upside. I don't know if there's any upside with any of these guys, only downside. And you keep sitting here, and I keep telling myself, well, it can't get any worse for Alex Gordon. It keeps getting worse. He's hitting 185. I'm like, it can't get much worse. He's 160 now. I know. It just leaves you speechless. And you wonder why they're struggling. 10:19 is our time. It's frustrating, but I have to gather myself, and I have to keep hitting myself in the head and keep saying, this is the price we pay for winning a World Series. Am I happy with the World Series? Absolutely. Do I have unbelievable memories? I will for the rest of my life. So if this means misery for me, for the Royals this year, and it's going to be like this for the next 4 years, so be it. I guess I would just rather see the Royals have a bad team with guys hitting 160 that are young instead of guys like Gordon and Travis Wood and Jason Hamill. I would just like to see the young guys. If we're going to be bad, let's just be bad with the young guys and let them take their lumps to get better, instead of having all these overpriced guys that aren't any good. But the problem is, apparently, none of the younger guys are ready.